Welcome to the iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times, where we engage with key opinion leaders about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, drug therapy, research, technology, or practice management.
Ophthalmology Times. The American Society of Retina Specialists annual meeting has gone virtual for 2020. We will continue to provide the quality content from events that you've come to expect. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Dilraj Grewal, who is presenting Evaluating the True Recurrence Rate in Non-Infectious Posterior Segment Uveitis. Thank you for joining us today. Tell us about your presentation.
So this is a post-hoc analysis of the registration clinical trial for the fluocinolone acetonide insert, which is an intravitreal insert that delivers a low dose of steroid over a period of 3 years. And one of the challenges when you are evaluating the efficacy of such local therapy for uveitis is to account for the effect of systemic medications, including medications that patients might have for other inflammatory conditions, not just their eye, as well as for medications that they might have to be on for the inflammation in the fellow eye. Now, as part of the clinical trial, any patient who was on these medications that were defined as confounding medications was categorized as a recurrence. It was an imputed recurrence. So this post-hoc analysis was designed to help tease out which of those patients had a recurrence because of the study eye versus those that had an imputed recurrence because they had to be placed on systemic medications due to systemic inflammation or fellow eye inflammation. So looking at the 87 patients who were in the fluocinolone acetonide cohort, 49 of them had a recurrence. And out of these 49, 7 were an observed recurrence where the investigator deemed the study eye to meet the criteria for a uveitis recurrence, whereas 42 were an imputed recurrence where the inflammation was not directly observed in the study eye. So focusing on those 42, we found that 35 of them were because of the use of adjunctive medications. And amongst those 35, 27 were because of systemic treatment, and 8 were because of local injections. So in order to try to further categorize this, we looked at those 27 eyes that had an imputed recurrence because they were on systemic treatment and categorized them as responders, which means the patient would have otherwise not been considered to be a recurrence, and this is during the 3-year study period. Those who are non-responders, which means they then went on subsequently to develop findings in the eye that suggested they had a recurrent inflammation. Those who are likely responders, where the reason for placing the patients on the systemic medications were not completely clear. And then looking at those 27 eyes that had an imputed recurrence because of being on systemic medication, we found that 10 of them were actually responders. And amongst the 10, half of them were placed on systemic medications because of fellow eye inflammation and half because of non-ocular inflammation. 12 of the 27 were non-responders. 2 were likely responders and 3 were, we couldn't categorize them. So basically this tells us that by trying to tease out the effect of systemic medications, the actual recurrence rate of eyes with non-infectious posterior uveitis that receive the fluocinolone acetonide insert may be lower than what has been reported as part of the clinical trials. Because the clinical trials reported a 56% recurrence over a 36-month period. But if you try to exclude some of the imputed recurrences, that rate is likely lower.
And what's the take-home message?
The take-home message is that when you're discussing the potential of this implant to control uveitis with your patients, it is important to recognize that there are other factors at play besides just the implant itself. And the effectiveness in terms of being able to control uveitis without a recurrence is higher than what the clinical trial data tells us.
Excellent. And separately, we're asking everybody a couple of extra questions. The first, 2020 being what we would consider the year of the eye, what's your vision for ophthalmology in 2020?
I think, you know, this has been overall a very good year for ophthalmology in terms of demonstrating the resilience that our specialty has in dealing with this, the pandemic, demonstrating the ability of our community to come together and play such an integral part of the entire health system. the ability of the our communities, for example, the retina community in particular, to continue to provide care to the patients with the sickest eyes, even during the pandemic, and be able to modify our processes to provide that care in a manner that is safe. We continue to see advances in pharmaceutical therapy, in surgical treatments, gene therapy. So that is all very exciting. But I think with this additional component of being able to adapt to the changing environment.
Excellent. And lastly, in ophthalmology, what keeps you up at night?
It is, so I do vitreoretinal surgery and uveitis. I think it is a challenging patients. It is dealing with patients who have sick eyes and chronic diseases, and being able to continue to provide care for them throughout the duration of their disease, and continue to try to come up with newer tools to reduce the treatment burden and improve their vision outcomes.
Excellent. Again, thank you so much for making some time for us today. We really appreciate it. And I wish you good health and safety going forward.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the iPod. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.